Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Today's message is reaching lost souls. This is something that's really been heavy on my heart for quite some time. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand if you can, as I read from God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And this is Paul's writing, and Paul writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, what we have received in our hearts and lives, the gift of eternal salvation, let us tell others about it and what Jesus has done for us in our lives. Give us the zeal with inside of us, dear God. Nothing from ourselves, but only from your Spirit, Lord, and your power, that God, we are able to get out and witness. And Father, as I preach this message, Lord, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. As we read in the 10th chapter, we find something very great within Paul's heart. Paul loved the Lord Jesus with such a passion that Paul started out by saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my heart's desire." Now, as I just read in Scripture, that when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you believe upon Him, you have been saved. And the moment that you got saved, then your life was completely transformed and turned around. Now, we know about Paul's life before when he was Saul. We know what a hateful murderer he was. The man was evil, and Saul had an encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, and the Lord came to Saul and says, "Why do you persecute against me?" Basically, the Lord was wanting to know, "Why do you hate me and my people so much? Why do you want to kill all of my children?" And that day, Saul had heart surgery. The ugliness of his heart had been removed. The old stony heart had been taken out. and he was given a brand new heart of flesh. But the Bible says that scales were over his eyes. And as the scales came off of his eyes, he was able to see things. And it wasn't from the physical eye. Here's what I want you to know this morning, that Paul was able to see, and his name was changed from Saul to Paul. But it was from his heart that Paul was able to see with the love of the Lord, and he was able to look and see others just as God saw them. And see, Christian brothers and sisters, that's exactly how God wants us to look at everybody else. God wants us to see everybody as he sees them. God looks at people as redeemed. God looks upon his people as transformed by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and we accepted that, we were made clean and whole, and the Lord no longer looks at us as we were in the past tense of life, but he looks at us now, redeemed, washed in the blood. We were made whiter than snow, and we have had a transformed heart. We had heart surgery. We were given a new heart of flesh. We were given a new outlook on life. We were given a new opportunity. And that should make us right there have the same mannerism and the same heartfelt love that Paul did. And every single day of our life, we should declare, brothers and sisters, it is my heart's desire to serve the Lord. It is my heart's desire to witness and tell others about Jesus. But how many times do we have opportunities that arise and we fail to say something because we come up with some type of an excuse? We say, well, if I was to witness, they might think that I'm weird or that I'm crazy, or they might think I flipped my wig. Or if I tell my friends about Jesus, they might turn their back on me and walk away. Well, you know what? I would rather lose friends for just a season's time than to hang out with a group of sinners. I would rather have the Lord in my life and be his disciple and live for him and gain heaven and gain eternal life than to give myself to a bunch of worldly people. Now, I want to point something out. We were at this wedding yesterday, and there were people there who are Christians, and there were people there who were not. There were people who were drinking, and there were people who were not. We were at somebody else's house, so it wasn't up to me as to what happened, but it was up to me to be a witness. And it was up to me to let Christ shine in a worldly situation. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we all have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's the attitude of your heart that some will look at and see, and the attitude of your heart will be the greatest witness than any words you could ever speak most of the time. Did you realize that? Because when people look at us and they see Jesus Christ, they're going to know who we are. They're going to know that we are his children, his disciples, and they're going to know us by our fruit, by the way we act, by the words we speak, the actions that we put forth. So today, what is your heart's desire? Paul did not say, my heart's several desires. Paul didn't name off all these things he wanted to see done. And that's what we have to look at today is God's church. Yeah, there are things we need to do, but in the church, our heart's desire should not be all the other things going on around us. Our heart's first and only desire should be to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. We're not here to see who can look better, who can talk better. And you know, I used to go to these associational meetings, and they would have three or four different preachers. And those are all good and stuff. But I never liked to go to them. I thought, well, I could go to them and sit there all day, but I could also be out in the community telling somebody about Jesus Christ, what he's done for me in my life. Because my heart's desire is for someone else to know him, that their name be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we get a Christmas gift, what's the first thing we do? I'll tell you what, when we buy a new vehicle, it doesn't matter if it's used or brand new off the lot, but when we get a different vehicle that's basically new to us, what do? We go and tell everybody, we show everybody what we've bought because we're proud of it. And what do? We wash it every other day, it seemed like. We keep the tires cleaned. We keep the inside vacuumed. And boy, we're proud to show it off. We like to drive it to the store, and we like to park it right down front so everybody can see it. Well, I think we ought to do the same thing with Jesus. He is the greatest gift. And now here's, I want to make a comparison. Now get in a car, that newness wears off after a while, doesn't it? And then we don't wash it as much. We don't vacuum it like we used to. And we quit parking it down front at the grocery store or Walmart, wherever. But the gift that Jesus is, it should never grow old. It should be alive inside of us. It should cause us to be excited. It should cause us to be joyful. And we should always want to put the Lord out front first and tell people what he's done for us. We should always elevate God. We should always elevate the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should always elevate the Holy Spirit. Because I'll tell you what, without Jesus, you and I would have no hope today. And Paul said one desire. I mean, it was like a consuming passion with Paul. All he wanted to do was witness and preach the gospel. It didn't matter where he was at, who was around. Paul had, I mean, I could just imagine Paul being, you ever seen people on The Price is Right when their name gets called? Man, they run down that aisle and they're down there jumping. They'd be jumping in front of Bob Barker just happy, ready to bust at the seams. Because they wanted to get up there and play a game show game, and they wanted to win the money. Well, when Jesus came into our heart and life, we ought to be like somebody on The Price is even greater. We should be busting with excitement that Jesus calls us now his children. We should be telling people, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I want yours to be there with mine. So Paul, his life was turned around. He was murdering people, murdering Christians. He ate, slept, and breathed murder and evil. But then when his life got turned around, he slept, eat, and breathed Jesus. He had a ministry set before him, just like Jesus had a ministry. And Jesus talked to his Father to find out how the Father wanted him to do things on a day-to-day basis, and Paul in the same way. Paul sought the Lord. Paul was in prison, and he still witnessed and sang and preached and shared Jesus Christ. And you and I, brothers and sisters, we have freedom to be in the Lord's house every week. And you know what? I would rather be right here at church on Sunday morning than laid up in a hospital or bedridden at my home. I would rather have the opportunity. And I know there's folks who can't come to church, and I wish they could, but I know some people have physical limitations, but we've got to get out there and share the gospel of Jesus with them and take the word to them and lift them up as well. Paul never looked to satisfy his own desires or his own life, Paul looked out for the needs of others. And the very need was that people needed Jesus in their heart and life. Secondly, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is for their salvation." Looking out for others, praying for people. You know, we have a vast opportunity every day to pray before God. And there's so many people who don't take advantage of that. We have an opportunity to approach God's throne of grace and mercy, and we can pray to Him, and we can lift up the things upon our hearts and lives. We can lift up our loved ones. We can ask God to make us the most powerful witnesses. We have the opportunity every day, and we should grab that opportunity. We must have this desire to go to God, because when we have a desire for the Lord, He will fulfill the desire. You know, when you were little and you needed something of your parents really bad, what did they do? Didn't your parents ever go out of the way to make sure your needs were met? I know mine always made sure we had a roof over the head, food on the table, and that we had food and clothes. Food to eat and clothes to wear upon our back. And they made sure, even though my folks didn't go to church with us for the longest time, they made sure that we got on a church bus every Sunday and went to church, and I'm thankful for that. They always looked out for our needs, and they met them, because I would go to mom and dad and say, "I want to go to church. I really do. I want to go with my friends." And they made sure I was on that bus or on that van every Wednesday night to go to the kids group at church. And we, in the same way, should go to God with every desire. And our desire should be, God, make our church a witnessing church. Make our church a church that's on fire for You. Change our hearts and lives, Lord. Make us to be a witness like the Apostle Paul. I don't want my life to be like Paul's. I want my life to be what God wants it to be. See, God has a specific plan and purpose for each one of us. He has given us all different gifts, and those gifts are to be used for His honor and glory, for His service. But He wanted to see souls saved. And you know, while we see churches shutting down or people just going astray these days now, we don't see people really, and I see this more and more. I had somebody come to me a while back and said, "All our preacher preaches is his encouragement. We don't ever hear about salvation. We don't even hardly have a baptism anymore." And really, it's truthful. More and more churches, you don't see the baptistries being used like they used to. Now, there may be some, but there's a lot that I was in a church, I won't say which one, but I was in a church the other day, and I just happened to peek into the baptistry. That's my curiosity. And down in the bottom of that baptistry, there was all kinds of spiders and crickets down in there. And as soon as I saw the spiders and crickets, you know what came to my mind? This baptistry hasn't been used in forever, because it was covered in the bottom. And that's a sad situation when we place a baptistry in a church, because they ain't cheap. But when we put them in there and they just become a collection for bugs and webs, and then some churches will throw boxes and decorations into them and forget all about it. See, we don't come to church for ourselves. We come to church for God. We come to church to be strengthened and motivated that we will get out and spread the good news that Jesus still saves. These curtains on this baptistry should be parted more than they are, and there should be people being baptized. But where does it start? It starts within our hearts. I can't make Corrine go out and start witnessing to people. I can't make Milton or Sarah go out and do things that the Lord wants them to do. It has to come from within them. They have to be the ones that says, Father, my desire is to go out and minister and witness to someone for your glory and honor today. Where would you send me? Where would you want me to go? Father, fill me. Fill this desire. Give me the passion. Push me forward. Get me out of my comfort zone. How many times do we get in our comfort zones and then we say, ha, I like it right here? You know, I'm going to just say this, and I believe this is truth. I believe a lot of people don't like to go to church because they're afraid of what the preacher's going to preach, and they're afraid they're going to come under conviction that they're going to be pushed out of their comfort zone. Well, we need to start praying every day. We shouldn't be saying, well, Lord, I'm too old to go out and do this. You ought to be saying, Lord, I am capable to do this. Because with God, all things are possible. It's the attitude of your heart that counts. Who is your heart beating for? Who do you desire to please? We need to make him known. We need to get his name out there in the highways and the byways. That was the thing that consumed Paul the greatest, was salvation. We want to see all these other things take place in church, and that's great, but our first priority is lost souls. There are people dying and going to hell every single day, and we can decrease that number if we will be willing to step up and say, Father, here I am, send me. Paul had a purpose. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Psalm 126:6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That ought to be our interest. That ought to be our driving desire. That we are taking this word and that we are reading it and studying it and we are putting it in our hearts so that we will not sin against God. That we can speak his word. Because when you speak this word, it brings life. When you speak this word, darkness is expelled and light is given. When we walk in the power of this word, we can conquer anything. And you know, when we come into the church house or when we're living our lives, we should be giving our full attention to the Lord. One thing we need to get, I'll say this, is I really believe as God's church, we need to really get into this word and just drill it into our hearts. We should make this book the most read book in our home. I want to encourage you today with something. If you've got other books and magazines and stuff that you like to read and you find yourself spending more time in those than you do your Bible, here's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you. I'm not commanding or being a boss, but I want to encourage you to put those things away and only have your Bible out as the only book that's out there on your table. And every time you pass that book, I hope that you'll open the Holy Word of God and read it and that you'll be motivated. Say, Father, motivate me like Paul was motivated. And the motivation comes from him. But the passion that Paul had, the interest that Paul had, should be our passion and our interest. You know, I'm so thankful for everything that everybody does in this church, for what you do day in and day out. Because if it weren't for the ones that were sowing the seeds, we would not be seeing the harvest that we see. But here's what else I want to put out a challenge to you on. I want to challenge you some Sunday morning, get here a little bit early and walk through where the Sunday school classrooms were held, the classes. And I want you to walk through the classes by them. And I'd like to challenge you to say, Lord, I want to see these rooms filled again. And then come into the sanctuary and look at the seats that are empty and available and say, Father, I pray that you will send me to the people that will be sitting in these empty places. Put the passion and desire upon me, Lord, to be like Paul. Push me, Lord, push me. See, Peter was in the boat and he said, he saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, Lord, if that's you, then bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He was okay till he got his eyes off the Lord. What I want to encourage you today to do is get your eyes on the Lord. Get your heart, not these, but get the eyes of your heart fixed on the Lord. And I want all of us to seek in pleasing Him. I want all of us to become witnesses wherever we are. And you know what? There's been times that I've been out and I've walked up right up to people and just said, hello, how are you? And they say, I'm fine, how are you? I'm great. And just after a few minutes of talking, there have been so many times that I've asked somebody, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And then I wait for the answer. And if they tell me no, I say, well, I don't want to share with you for a moment. And I've had people try to run off, and I try to keep them cornered for that time. But I've had people run off. And I've had other people who stood and stayed and listened. And I've had the opportunity in jails and in other places. I used to be a chaperone for the Marion High School dances at the youth center. And I remember one evening, a young man sitting at the side of the building gave his heart and life to the Lord right outside the high school dance. And boy, I thank the Lord for that. But what a difference we could make. What a difference we could make right here if we would say, Father, my heart's desire is to serve you. My heart's desire is to witness and to love you and to go where you send me. That'd be the greatest thing. We need to reach lost souls. If you want to know how we can change things in this world, tell people about Jesus. Don't tell them about what's going on, about all the negative things going on in your family, or don't go tell people the latest gossip that's going around. Tell them about Jesus. Give them a reason to want to listen to you. You ever noticed when you start being negative and you start telling people negative stuff, you ever notice what they do? They want to get away, don't they? They don't want to listen to that kind of stuff. But if you rejoice and tell them about Jesus, now some still may want to pull away, but I'll tell you what, when you go sowing good seeds, those seeds, the Lord will take care of bringing forth a harvest. And when He brings in that harvest, we'll see these seats filled and we'll see these Sunday school classrooms filled, but it takes all of us being in one accord. What is your desire today?